You're fine there. Unless you want to sit by me. Huh?
Not this early.
You're not fine, but it's fine. Mm-hmm.
On the last time we talked about Galatians 4, I can't remember when we met, but in verse 21, well, in verse 19 is, my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I desired to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Now we just did 20. Now we're doing 21. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? I want to, again, concentrate here in on what the purpose of the law is and what the word law here means. Romans says that the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. The letter, each of you have the capacity, each person who's ever been born, has the capacity to visualize or to see what they want to do, or what objective they may have in their mind or heart. You can see it, you can set that as a goal, but you have the inability to accomplish it, for the most part. There's a rare amount, a rare number of people who can set a goal for a time and then accomplish it. And those people are usually what we call the successful people. But most of us, we can set a goal, but we can't accomplish it. We can't do it. If you look at the mystery of God, whether it's the message that says the gospel was preached unto Abraham, or all the way through, the old-time commentators used to say that the law tells men to fly, but gives them no wings. The gospel says you can't fly. It says a lot worse than that. But it says, but my seed, my son accomplished all things. And so until you have seen by experience that you can't, there's no way that God can show you that in Him you can. Let's go to Romans 3 real quick. Verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they have not known. And there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, who's he talking about? Must be talking about those people over there or back then. You understand that he's talking about all of us? There is none that doeth righteousness, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. Do you understand how most of our seeking after God is in truth seeking our own self-benefit? Now look at what he says. He says this incredible thing. Now we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. I hate to go back to this all the time, but when Jesus said, take no thought for your life, take no thought for what you're going to eat, take no thought for what you're going to wear, take no thought for tomorrow, he wasn't kidding. Because the best that our minds can do is to try to con ourselves into believing that we are keeping some aspect of the law. He's clear here. The purpose of the law is to shut up your mouth, that all the world may become guilty. But what do? The word law is nomos. It doesn't just mean this. It means every rule or law or principle or... What do? God gave us 613 laws that define perfection. And the promise keepers gave us 7 more. How many of you added? To make you believe that you can do something right. How many? How many will you add today? How many little procedural things will you add today to make you believe that you can do it right? If the purpose of the law is to shut up our mouth, which is what it says, if the strength of sin is the law, which Corinthians says, then what is this thing? What is it that we're doing? Because all our lives we've set these little, we've learned. Rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. God helps those that help themselves. Early bird gets the worm. Now we think they're innocent. But in fact, every culture has a whole garbage bag full of these little aphorisms, principles of how to live. And then you fill it up with your own. And you convince yourself that you can do it right for a time. Luther said that mankind takes the precious law of God, which is spiritual, and they take little pieces of it to convince themselves that they can do it all. I found out a mystery. I found out that I can't do any of it. Ronnie found that out. Jim found that out. Did anybody else in here find that out? Harry still thinks there's things he can do right. Now let's go back to Galatians 4. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, it's critical for you to understand that you and all men desire to be under a law that you can fulfill. They'll even change the scriptures. They'll even take new definitions, new translations of the scripture to create a law that you can fulfill. You may fulfill it for a time. There may be a way in which you can do this for a little time, that you can live by these principles. And principles are laws. It just means the word law is nomos. It just means the way a thing works. The spiritual law, the laws of God, look at the way the thing works from the eternal position. But we try to create the way a thing works in our own environment so that we can accomplish it, so we can do it. But I promise you, there soon will come a time in your life when, because of age or infirmity, that you won't be able to do the simplest of the law. You won't be able to even help yourself. You won't be able to get out of bed. You may be among those that are fed with a tube. You may be among those that breathe with the assistance of a machine. And then what can you do? Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? James says if you want to keep one aspect of the law, you have to keep it all. If there's one thing that you think you can do right, you have to go to Jerusalem, you have to build the temple, you have to find the ashes of the red heifer, you have to find the Ark of the Covenant, you have to genetically breed the sheep and the cattle and the rest of the offerings so that they are without spot or wrinkle. So tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? And what is it to be desiring to be under the law? It's to be in any other position than faith. It's to be in any other position than 100% total dependence on God for even your next breath. That's the only way that you are not under the law. Now, Christ did, think about these words. In Hebrews 10, it says, "For by one offering you have been perfected forever." Can you conceive of that? Does anybody here believe that they have been perfected forever? Do you understand that it says that you can do absolutely nothing against the truth? But I can't hear that. I got places to go. I got things to do. I've got mountains to climb. I've got things to accomplish. Well, if that's the case, then you cannot hear the gospel. You have to go try to accomplish all the things that you think you want to do. You have to do just what Abraham did. You have to go do everything that's in your mind to do until you come to the place where you, all he did was saying, I don't want to do that anymore. And then he did something else. I don't want to do that anymore. And he did something else. I don't want to do that anymore.
Feeling like really uncomfortable right now. I don't know what it is.
Because your parents are here.
I just want to get up and run out of here.
It's because your parents are here. They're your law. They're where you develop everything that you that makes you you. Does that sound too crazy?
No.
And some of the things I'm saying are probably in conflict.
Yeah.
And there you are. And there you are. And you are caught between a rock and a hard place. It's just like everybody else in the Scripture was. That's why it says, no man can come to me unless he hate his mother, his father, his sister, his brother, his wife, and children, yea, and his own life also. Until you can no longer look at that male and that female, and you see them no longer with the label of mother and father, but you see them as brothers and sisters in Christ. You see them as fellow I ams. But you're still carrying the baggage, which is normal. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you? And you've got to go try to do it all.
I disagree, but the positive thing is that despite all of that, I think the thing that in our lives that gives God pleasure is our faith and our trust, mostly our trust, which demonstrates our faith. I think that's what you're saying.
Yeah, faith.
But again,
let me talk.
And another thing I want to say is that, you know, I have been justified, that despite all of my achievement, God has justified me and accepts me.
In Christ.
Yes. And so, you know, I don't have to walk around with guilt on me because at times I want to achieve.
Nobody said you did, but you have to come to the place where you find out that our language is so terrible. Mm-hmm. We say, I believe in God and I believe the light's on. It's not that. You can believe the light's on. But this is believe in God. Total 100% reliance. And that's what sanctification is. It's moving from believing in Christ to living by the faith of Christ. Ambition, I've said many times here, that every idea that we've had and every invention of man since the day of the cross has been an attempt to flee the revelation of Christ. He says clearly, he says, except you be converted and become as this little child, you can in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. The word for little child there is the Greek word technon. One without self-awareness. Except you be converted and become as that little child, you can in no wise enter the kingdom of God. Now that's a mystery. The ancients said that all men have been given three graces. And they are typified in the grace of the faith of Abraham, the faith of Isaac, and the faith of Jacob. The faith of Abraham was the faith that we just talked about. The faith of Abraham is the faith of learning. But learning what? Learning, I don't want to do that anymore. He did everything. He moved everything, but it took him 100 years to see the promise. The faith of Jacob. Jacob didn't use his own name for 20 years. Whenever Jacob is referenced in the scripture, he says he's the son of. Whenever he introduces himself, well, I'm the son of. It wasn't until he wrestled with the angel, and the angel kept demanding Jacob to say, what is your name? And Jacob finally said, Jacob. But you know what the word Jacob means in the Hebrew? The way of the snake. Until he admitted that he was the way of the snake, then as soon as he admitted it, the angel let him go. His name was changed to Israel, she who sees God. The other is the faith of Isaac. Isaac is what everybody thinks they want. It's the faith of instant revelation. But read the Genesis 22 carefully. You'll see that Abraham took Isaac up to the mountain, but Isaac didn't come back. It's total that the garment of his righteousness not be spotted, that there be not, that we be without spot or wrinkle. And the only way that that's possible is that we live by his faith. We are redeemed by his death, but we are saved by his life. Now, if we can hear that, then we understand what Peter was talking about when he said, we account the long suffering of our Lord as salvation. Because he's waiting patiently, patiently, patiently for all of us to come to the end of ourselves. We see with the preacher, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. And that means futile, empty. There are no exceptions to it if you believe the scriptures. But his grace provides us the time to come to the end of ourselves. That's why the essence of what I say here is if you have anything left that you feel like you must do, go do it. If there's any if-onlys, if there are any what-ifs, then go do it. We'll help you do it. But you cannot justify personal ambition anywhere in the scriptures. Because it, by definition, makes you the subject of your sentence.
That's a fine line. Because, you know, even Abraham, who is notable for his faith and so forth, he still tended the sheep and his cattle and whatever.
Until you come to the end of it all. But if you put God's name on your personal ambition, and that's apostasy. It's except you be converted and become as that little child. The first word that Christ said to his disciples, deny yourself, pick up your cross. Summary commands. The word deny is not say I don't exist. The word deny says take absolutely no thought of or about yourself in any way. Apodiomai is the word. Pick up your cross as you accept your death. Those are summary commands. The follow me is the natural outcome of picking up those two, of following those two commands.
It's all about control. Like we've been talking about, you know, the law and ambition and, you know, all the ideas we have. Because we have an idea and have something in the future, and have the thinking that we can make it happen, then we have a semblance of control, like we're in control, like we're sort of like God. That's what everybody wants.
And the only way to do that has to begin. It has to begin with an assumption, a decision, a picturing of what is good, what is right. Because you're not gonna do that to get to something that's wrong. You have to be deceived into thinking you've pictured. That's what I do. I'm always deciding what's the good, right thing, and then trying to get to it.
The only personality portrait of Christ is Isaiah 53. says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm," the word is the seed, Zeruah, "of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before us as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground, out of Zion. He has no form nor comeliness. He has no beauty that when we see him, we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of all men. But we create a Christ which conforms to our idolatry." All men do. And that's why time exists, so we can come to the end of that, so we can see him in his purity.
You know, these pictures of Hussein and his hole and everything, you know, that's the place where we all have to get to. You know, we're discovered in our hole, and all of our grand ideas about stuff are revealed to be bogus. And, you know.
Yeah. Again, I will say, I'm not. This has nothing to do with who's saved, who's going to heaven. That's God's business. But just as the people in Somalia are having their hands cut off or being killed for their faith in Christ, just as for all the years that the Soviet oppression occurred and people were murdered for the name of Christ, so we must be faithful to what we see here. That happened for the entire body of Christ's sake. What we are doing, we must be faithful to what we see. Now, I'm not saying that you have to see what we see. I'm not saying anybody out there has to see what we see. But I see the total emptiness and futility of all human effort. I see especially the futility of what man calls ambition. And I preach against it. But does that mean you're wrong where you are? No. Just like, does that mean I'm wrong because my hand hasn't been cut off like the believers in Indonesia or Somalia? No. But I must be faithful to what I see. Do I believe everybody, all the people that name the name of Christ, have to do the feast like we do? No, of course not. But I believe that we must be faithful to what we see. You know, and again, I subject myself to everybody. We're out on the internet. Anybody can say, show me where I'm wrong in the scriptures. Now, that's why it's so critical that herein, if I ever told you what to do other than repent, then you should shoot me. If you have something that you have to do, then we'll do everything in our power to help you do it. But we take in the people who are the losers of the world. We're not kidding. We are the offscouring of society. We have more felons per capita here than most prisons. We know the futility and our own weakness and our own emptiness. And that's what we have to do and see. I know that Ronnie's drug addiction or that Bonehead's alcoholism, a couple of Boneheads, or that my incredible crap that I've done, all of that had to happen so that I could come to the end of myself, without question. I could know that even if I weren't going, if I was too evil to go to heaven, I'd still have to do exactly the same thing I'm doing. I mean, you can't believe the number of people that have come through here. I have never said that we are right. I've never said that anyone else is wrong, except if they're committing fraud in the name of God. not trying to convince you of anything. I'm not trying to get anybody to come here. Is that clear to everybody? I met with Alex's father, and I told him and his father, I said, this is no place for you. I told that to your son also. Because when I saw him, I saw that he had miles to go and places to see. And that's fine. But he decided he wanted to come here anyway, and I kept trying to kick him out every day. But this is a conflict, and it's in you. It's not in here. It's not in God's eyes. In the first century church, briefly, I'll quit. Evangelism was exactly opposite. Do you know that there was no such thing as a building called a church for 300 years? The only church was the ecclesia, whatever the word is. I can't even say it right now, but it was the people. And the churches met in homes. If they had to have at least 10, but no more than 20 people. When they got more than 20, they moved to the next house. And communities were formed. When did faith become a commodity to get stuff? When did a church become a building? When did evangelism become competing with every other idiot in the spiritual supermarket? When did belief in Christ become a moral option? These are all heresies that have entered into the church. When did evangelism become a sales tool? I mean, but fortunately, If there weren't any heretics in the church, none of us would be here. And so each body of people has to be faithful to what they see. But I promise you this. I promise you that the word truth, when it just says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the word truth is critical to this discussion. The word truth is the Hebrew word emeth, and it means something that doesn't change with time. So unless what you can say about God and about the Christian life and good conscience can't be said equally in the circus of Rome when they were killing the Christians, or in Indonesia today where they are chopping your arms off, if what you are saying in the name of Christ can't be said in every place in the universe, in every time, in every circumstance, then it lacks the component of truth. Believe me, I've tried to get your son to leave. I'm sure you have too.
No, he's under God. He's his own individual.
Right, but I want him.
I sense that you are trying to talk to me this morning, and I don't disagree with you. But you're still trying to talk to me. You're trying to talk to my son.
No, I'm not.
To my wife.
No, I'm just.
I feel that. What you say is correct, but some of us do, as you said, do go out and we work in society and we do achieve, but I think we can honor God in all of our daily work and what we do, and I think that... I don't feel any guilt because of that, because I've been justified by faith, and I think we honor God in all that we do, our work. You know, Noah built the ark, Abraham tended his flocks. They all did. They didn't just sit and worship God, you know.
Now, I know that's what you believe, and that's fine.
Yep. And but I don't think that's untruthful as far as the scripture is concerned.
Well, I know that's what you believe, and that's fine. And I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying, but for us who have failed in everything, who have come to the end of all of the things that we can conceive of, then that type of theology doesn't make any sense here. Nobody asked you.
This place exists because some people have earned money to make this place continue to exist.
Well, that's a little bit doubtful, but anyway. No, I mean, we have, obviously there's people here that work at regular jobs. That's not the point. The point is, I will continually and always make fun of them if they have ambition. But I will tell them the same thing that I told you. And you just said, whatsoever you do in thought, in word, or in deed, do heartily as unto the Lord and not as unto men. That you, if you're working in the world, you must see your boss, no matter if he's a pagan, you must see him as Jesus Christ and submit yourself unto him as unto Christ. So we probably disagree in a whole lot less places than it seems. Now you feel more nervous?
No.
No, but it's natural. You ought to see when I go, if I go visit a Bible study and one of the other teachers is teaching, they feel like getting up and running. But it's just the way of, it's just the process of being, getting over all of these labels that we have. So you can relate to your mother and father as brothers and sisters in Christ, not as those loaded words of mommy and daddy. Okay? And that's what they want from you too. They want you as their friend, not as their son. I believe that's what all parents want. And I'm not trying to kick you out anymore. I'm just telling it to your dad.
For me, there's no a greater honor for him to call me dad. I see some kids call it Gloria and Sonny called it. I don't want to be called Gloria or Sonny.
No, I don't. That's
dad.
That's fine.
And
that's fine. But it's still, you can't ignore what Jesus said.
No, but I still think
something has to be done with that. Maybe it's just because you like to be called dad. But it doesn't make it the right thing to do for others. Let me repeat it one more time. No man can come, Luke 14:26. No man can come to me unless he hate his mother, his father, his sister, his brother, his wife, his children, and his own life also. And hate doesn't mean love less. It's a word that means one of you have to die in the ancient. And all it means is that God doesn't want the baggage of words. Man didn't fall until he named. And the baggage of words and labels is hindering our relationship with God. I didn't put that in the Bible. And so I promise you, from years of study and from many years of seeing, that the people that can see that have a far better relationship with their children than anything I've ever seen. Anybody agree or disagree?
I had a personal, very dramatic experience with that. The day or two or the 2 days before my father died, in a flash, it was like the scales came off and he was a person to me rather than
and all of the baggage of that word.
I've never seen him as a human being.
Harry used to get so mad at me because I treated my mother the same way I treated him.
And they're both wrong.
And then I went up to visit his parents, his mom and dad, and 2 days after he got there, he wanted to leave. He was so mad at him, he couldn't spit. But he still acted real nice to them. Anyway.
One thing about this is troubling me. Are you plan to visit our Bible study? That's a new policy.
No, I was mainly is when I visited Gary and Judy. All righty, take it, big guy. I got to go.